Taking Back America with a progressive voice in the afternoon. This is the Mario Solis Merritt Show on AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
Hey, Aaron at AaronHartShow.com. I haven't been saying that enough. Aaron at AaronHartShow.com. This is Mario's show, but I'm filling in, and I have a website. I'd love to have your comments on it, and I'd also love to have your email now. And many of you are emailing me, and I have not meant to ignore you, so please forgive me. I do read all of your emails. I do respond to them, and sometimes often read them aloud. So at the risk of, I know some people have been holding on during the break. I really appreciate it. I do want to get one in. There's one thing that Brian Switzer said that isn't getting hit on the show. It's not a one deal thing, writes a listener. Wiring up the whole country, it requires the political will in the Congress to pass the funding, the will of the power companies to comply wholeheartedly, the will and the wealth of the American people to buy cars from car companies willing to make the types of cars we need. See the Chevy Volt. Switzer's plan itself is flawless, but rather than continually point out why, because it is flawless, relatively speaking, we should explore how. I have no answer to that question, but I want one. That's basically the point that the caller was just reduced to argue against it. It's a crappy reason to abandon a great plan, but we ought to answer that question. Amen. And I think Switzer did, in all fairness, mention some ways, 15% tax deduction for people who buy hybrid cars. And he also said you could amend, he said any, I think his quote was, any hippie in a garage, shades of the founders of Mac, but any hippie in a garage could amend a Prius, for example, and make it be and run its first 50 miles on electric and become a plug-in car. So I think we may have to start there. We may have to have hybrid vehicles. Look, as soon as I can afford it, look, if my car could go flex fuel now, I'd be doing it. But it's not, you know, I have an older car. I'm going to need to upgrade. But I was thinking today when I was driving in, I could find the money from somewhere. I would do something. I would sell something in order to be able to get an electric car. You're right, and a Chevy Volt would be a good idea. Hey, the manufacturers in the United States are looking to replace their Humvee just closed at one of its plants. Let's go. You know, let's go. And then if we have the power companies coming online, the states break down their barriers. Dave on a cell phone, wouldn't we have a great country, huh?
I actually think it's not that complicated, okay? You tax carbon emissions and you provide tax credits for green energy. The market will drive itself into a green economy.
Look, even Richard Nixon.
You just have to provide a framework.
Richard Nixon did that to force people into putting scrubbers on smokestacks coming out to get the sulfur dioxide out of the air. They figured out a way to invent scrubbers real quick once the EPA passed the rules.
We are not limited by the technology. We are limited by the leadership. Did you know that you cannot get, there is not one hybrid vehicle that's waiting to be purchased on a lot in Colorado right now? There's a 3-month waiting list. There's a reason for that. The consumers have already changed their preferences. We're just waiting for the supply to reach us.
We've been changing for some. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well,
I want to
extend my point to all forms of energy, because the answer is electricity. It's going to be found in electricity and ways of storing and converting electricity for transportation and all of the other uses. But the problem that I have most of the time with, usually with fellow progressives, is that, for instance, nuclear. We have been using nuclear for 65 years without a major catastrophe. You're telling me that we can't expand our usage of nuclear
and still find ways to store
the converted material.
Good question, Dave. Take a deep breath. One second.
I will say to you,
Mount St. Helens. I will say to you that, and I forget the name of the place in Russia that was a major catastrophe in the past 60 years. Chernobyl was major and awful and terrible. And if you don't believe me, just ask the people who drank the milk coming out of Russia. But
oh, I
you know,
understand
okay,
that.
So, one minute. I also live near you live near plutonium land, okay, Rocky Flats, and I live near Hanford. You know, I don't live near Hanford, but it's across the state from me, and I've driven by there. And let me tell you something. The problem is the industry, one, has no brakes. So even though we haven't had a major cascade, it can happen. And the second point is that we have no place to store this stuff. And you know what? Nobody wants it. Nobody. Period. No question marks. Nobody wants it. The only people who are dealing with it in an intelligent way at all, as I understand it, are the French, who are recycling their used uranium in some ways and containing it pretty well. But you know what? We're not going to be the French, and we're going to be solar and wind. That's what we have a lot. We have a lot of hot air in this country. We might as well be putting it to use.
So you're saying that the answers are out there. The technology is currently being used by the French, but we are choosing not to.
They still have an industry with no brakes. If there's a major meltdown in France, they're all going to be cooked. And they're going to contaminate most of Europe while they're at it, and it'll blow over here eventually. So you know what? I don't like it basically because it has no brakes. Once it gets going, you cannot stop it. There's no way to put the fire out. That's my problem with it. So even though it hasn't happened, yeah, I haven't had, you know, we're running on 500 years of major earthquake, and I could be in the, you know, the Pacific day after tomorrow. You know, do I try to retrofit my home? Sure. Do I try to take the best precautions I can? You betcha. But once it starts, I'm not crazy. I know I'm not going to be able to stop it. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm talking about. Once it starts, you can't stop it. And that's my problem with it in a nutshell. And I see no solution to it.
Modern reactors have so many levels, safety levels. Mm-mm.
I'm sorry, not good enough.
Just to create the reaction.
Not good enough.
I'm basically saying particle physics is very complex.
Diablo Canyon.
We should never fear what we don't understand. We should always create safety valves and create safety frameworks. But if we didn't try to accomplish something just because it's dangerous,
it's as expensive or more expensive.
We would be British.
You know what? That's ridiculous. Shame on you for saying that. Shame on you for ever saying that. If you have ever been to England, I assume you've never been to England because you would know how much those people sacrificed to save our buns in World War II. Don't you ever do that again in my presence. Don't you ever behave as if they're cowards. I'm happy as hell we're not British. But on the other hand, I'm not going to diss people who literally saved the world's behind in World War II. No, thank you. People who withstood bombarding day and night. Don't you ever, ever, ever tell me that the British aren't brave again, ever.
That's not what I said.
It is what you said.
We are being fearful. If we were fearful, we would be British. Revolutionary War.
That's exactly what you said. You said, if we were fearful, we would be British. Well, if we were you, we would be foolhardy and stupid.
We would be
stupid.
British because we lost the Revolutionary War.
You know, you don't understand what you're talking about. Please go do some research now. If you don't think I know we won the Revolutionary War, my family was here, they fought in it, so go away. Go away now. Goodbye. 303-713-7600. Ah! My relatives were down with the swamp fox kicking ass, so go away. John on a cell phone, welcome to, and I don't normally do that, but he was just so, you don't understand, and to insult the British like that, I'm sorry. No. They stood up and held the world on their shoulders, all right? Let's not go there. John on a cell phone, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Thanks, man. How you doing?
I'm pretty swell.
Good.
And I don't mean him any harm. I'm just going to slap him upside the head. Nuclear's great. Let's go. It costs as much to do that as it does to do this. It's less to do this. I'm for saving money, too. Go ahead,
okay.
John.
Well, I'm a development engineer and development engineering manager and also a mechanical engineer. I'm on several renewable energy projects right now.
Cool.
One of which is an electric bicycle rental system that we're going to be installing in the University of Washington early next year as a pilot program. And this is the last mile. So mass transit is a complement to mass transit systems. Mass transit takes you so far, but to get that last mile, sometimes it's very difficult to move around.
Sure.
This automated system with electric bicycles. We'll also have other electric vehicles installed, and you'll be able to just walk up, swipe your card, take your vehicle, ride to work with pedal assist, which makes it real easy to use. You can haul stuff.
Good, because I live where there are a lot of hills.
Good. Well, these bicycles are fantastic. And those vehicles are coming online next year. And
wow.
In addition to that, the other project that we're currently working on is a solar-powered Stirling engine that creates electricity. It looks kind of like a satellite dish with a jet engine attached to it.
Whoa!
And these little Stirling engines, what they do is they take heat that's collected from this big mirror. It heats this little engine, and the engine runs an electrical generator. The devices probably have like about a 15 by 15 footprint, and they'll produce about 3.3 kWs of electrical energy.
Mm.
So, well, you're seeing a pretty big move right now for renewable energy, and although I like my inexpensive fossil fuels because I love being a motorhead and I have dirt bikes, but I realize that it is old technology and it's time to move on. And you're going to see a lot of things coming up here in the next couple of years, and thanks to the high fuel prices. So even though I'm not an advocate of the Republican Party, I do have to thank them for that.
Yeah, I guess we do. But you know what? Don't you think we can all work together? I mean, you're working for a company that's doing this. I know that there are people who are called into, I think, Ed Schultz's show the other day, you know, that Friday thing that he does with people with small business. And he's saying it's really hard right now to get enough solar panel contracts because people won't commit to using them. And it's like, you know what? They've got to start doing this. They just, you know, I mean, we've got to figure out some way to store the energy so that we can keep it, you know, perpetrated. But I think if we had a national grid, we can do that. Heck, we can invite Canada and Mexico to join us. Mexico's running out of oil. Canada will, too, eventually.
These Stirling engines are actually, it started out as individual applications, but what it's turned into or evolved into is these very large solar farms.
And how do you spell Stirling, S-T-I-R or E-R?
S-T-I-R. Okay. The Stirling engine itself is a rather old technology, but it's very efficient. And it just simply exchanges an expanding gas. It keeps it internally, so there's nothing expelled to the atmosphere.
And it also doesn't blow up.
Would you mind if I mention the two companies that I'm working for? People are welcome to look on their website.
Sure. Go ahead. I'm sure they might like to check them out. Sure, for informational purposes.
All right. The Stirling Engine Company, its website is called Infinia Corp.
You know what? Why don't you send it to me in an email, and I'll read it and spell it at the same time. Could you do that?
I could do that.
Okay, great. Infinia.com, and what's the other one?
That's Infinia Corp.
Oh, Infinia Corp. See, this is why I want it in front of me. Go ahead, because I know people will call up and go, what was that he said again?
They're kind of strange names. And the other one is called Intrago Mobility.
IntragoMobility.com.
Yep.
Listen, please send that to me, John. I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's Aaron at AaronHartShow.com. And you know what, Dave? I want to tell you something. I just replayed our conversation in my head, and I realized what you were trying to say is, if we didn't try hard, if we weren't inventive, if we weren't amazing, we'd be British, as if that, you know, because we wouldn't have fought in the Revolutionary War. I got it. I thought you were trying to call them cowards. I understand. I still think you were kind of insinuating that, so I'm not entirely sorry I landed on you. I still think nuclear is a dumb idea, but we can agree to disagree, and I'll give you a break and say that you weren't necessarily calling the British cowards, because they're not. I don't want to be British either, although I do a pretty good British accent. 303-713-7600. We'll be right back, right after this phone call or two, or this message. Yes, time for a commercial. 6:19 in the evening. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on AM 760 Progressive Talk. My Scottish and Irish ancestors are rolling somewhere. Scott Broylan with traffic coming up next.
Every day is just the same. There's nothing inside. I've been watching as the people.
Love the tunes Rick Bastian is playing this afternoon. Thank you all for joining me. Thanks, Mario, for going on vacation so I could have your show for a week and less than one day, Thursday. 303-713-7600. If you like what you're hearing, please let them know at 760 AM 760 Progressive Talk. Also, hey, join my mailing list at aaron@aaronhartshow.com. Many of you have written, but if you go to the website, aaron@aaronhartshow.com will get you. I can put you on a handy-dandy mailing list. I usually only send out blurbs when I have something to say about appearing somewhere. I also have a listener forum where I would love to hear from you. Now, one quick thing, because, again, I'm remiss in catching up with some of my email. Thanks, Jim. Sorry you're up in Conifer and your cell signal doesn't quite doesn't cut it, but I'm really glad to hear from you. He says, back in February, he started working for the National Renewable Energy Lab in Golden. I'm very passionate about the subject. Can't wait to see what we have in store with some actual leadership in Washington. He says he loves what I'm doing on the show and what I bring to the show, and I'm very glad you are. Thank you. I certainly plan to keep up the work. Thank you very much, because I like to work. I love to work. Can't you tell? 303-713-7600. And you know what? You know, again, Dave, I'm not trying to, you know, rain on your parade as a person. I just don't like your idea about nuclear. The other thing I thought of is, you know, one of the reasons the French have it and we don't is the French government will insure it. And we won't. I'm telling you something. I don't want to be stuck with insurance companies for the liability, you know, to bail them out. It's bad enough we're having to deal with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac due to the fact that there were some predatory loans issued. But, you know, I don't. I'm sorry. I'd rather pick up the tab for sane, sensible, renewable energy that doesn't torpedo the planet when it goes down. Carol in Denver, welcome to AM760 Progressive Talk. Good afternoon. Carol in Denver.
You know that I love everything you've been saying, and you know that French nuclear company Areva, where they have the catchy little tune.
Yes.
Talk about it. Talk about it. That one on TV that is like constant.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting.
They show the people dancing
them.
Too. I like that.
Yeah, I Googled them, and it turns out France will not store nuclear waste in France.
Oh.
Because they know how dangerous it is. So they ship it off to other countries, including Belgium, and I can't remember the other ones.
Oh, nice.
So remember that. I love how you're for solar and wind and the wave action and the geothermal. I would, if you could do something and get names of companies that sell affordable personal units that we can use when we don't, when we're not rich, but we have a little house or something or an apartment for solar and wind, you could just help grassroots change this whole energy.
I know. I think it's one. Well, that's one of the reasons I'm interested in that 635-foot power. And yeah. I did ask a guy who works for a wind company. The guy
which
was getting married.
I
can't remember what term he used.
I want to mention something else.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
With the with that French company that makes it sound like it's so safe, the
mm-hmm.
nuclear power.
I know.
They have truck accidents, and they cover it up with radioactive spills. So there's a lot more behind the scenes than they're letting on. And that's also in Canada. They own nuclear places in Canada. Now,
listen, I grew up near Rocky Flats.
Yeah, right,
I can't.
Right.
No, thanks. We've got plutonium waste.
With other people while they were letting plutonium out inadvertently and maybe on purpose, who knows?
Oops. Listen, I probably glow in the dark.
I got to throw something else at you. Do you remember a guy in the old days in Colorado by the name of Ed Martell? He was a scientist who worked at NCAR.
Name sounds familiar.
Ed Martell.
M-A-R-T-E-L-L?
M-A-R-T-E-L-L.
Name
either one
familiar.
L or two.
Yeah.
He found that low levels of radiation cause cancer. And that, for instance, the reason why cigarettes cause cancer is because the radioactive phosphorus fertilizers get caught up into the tobacco leaves, and then they create these little hot radioactive spots in people's lungs.
You know, I am so glad you said that. Can I just, oh, my God. I want to point a personal privilege real quickly.
Yeah.
I need to thank everyone in Colorado who is listening to my show 12 years ago today when I quit smoking cigarettes, because all of you helped me. I am still quit. I still haven't smoked. I have a certificate that a listener made me that is still framed and still in my personal possessions. I hang it wherever I go to remind me how wonderful the audience was, because let me tell you something. I was spacey. I forgot my own name. I was crabby as hell. By the way, anybody who worked
can
with
I,
me at that time period also.
With you?
Yes.
Aaron, one more thing here.
Yes, go.
Okay, maybe two more things real quick.
Okay, quick.
Okay, the other guy did not realize what the dangers are of nuclear power. The problem with the waste is that because of the nature of radioactive decay, it puts out a lot of heat, and eventually it will burst or melt any container, regardless of what it's made of, whether it's lead, whether it's concrete or anything, it will burst.
Glass, yeah,
and if
yeah.
you have a new fault that opens up, where there wasn't one before because of continental drift and whatnot, you're going to have this radioactive stuff getting into the water, the air, the food, everything, and it's going to eventually, if it gets in there enough, it can create everybody dead except cockroaches. They're the only ones that seem to be resistant to radiation.
Yeah, sure. I think cockroaches and maybe sharks
will
probably
sure.
still be swimming and eating our waste. Great.
One more thing on the compact fluorescent bulbs.
Yes.
Although they do save a lot of energy, Mm-hmm. My problem is that they do contain mercury.
Okay.
And they're not, and what I'd like to see is if people are going to use them, that there should be such a big added fee to make people bring them back instead of throwing them into landfill.
I asked Sustainable Dave about that very point, or someone did. I don't think I asked specifically about those, but someone did. And the amount of mercury and carbon fluorescence, apparently, you'll be relieved to know, is about the size of the head of a pin. Seriously.
That's not good enough either.
Okay. No, wait. Wait just one minute. Let me finish.
Not safe.
I know. Up here in the Maritimes, we have a hazardous waste dump. And you can go there. You have to pay a little. But we also have companies that are great. The people who sell you the carbon fluorescence will also take them back and recycle them.
But so, the problem in other places is most people do not recycle. That's one of the problems I have.
I understand, but the companies up here are reputable and they do it. Now, I don't know
in
whether
area,
they're
good.
I don't know whether that's done. I don't know whether that's done in Colorado, but let's put an APB out for people who do it.
There's another problem with the compact fluorescent bulbs. Although they have a great advantage in terms of the energy saving, the problem is also that the fluorescence can cause epilepsy in some people, just like a flickering monitor can.
Yeah, I don't
and
think
so
that, that's not true with the
issues.
Compacts. No, that's not true with the compacts.
Well, then the
think.
Mercury, it can cause autism and
but I'm not going to, no, that has, not been that has not been scientifically proven beyond a
check
doubt.
On it. You'll see.
I've looked at it. I've interviewed people.
But I agree with everything else you said.
I understand. I'm still going to use carbon fluorescence because I'm going to put them down in my basement until I go to the hazardous waste dump and take them back or go to, up here there's a drugstore chain that's been in business since 1896 and they'll take them back, you know, and they're real ethical. I like them. I trust them to give me my prescription straight, so I trust them for that. And again, thank all of you who helped me quit smoking. God, I had it written down at the top of my list. Thank people. It's the 12th anniversary of my not smoking, as well as the anniversary of NASA. And my dog, Pedro, and my entire family thanks you, too. 303-713-7600. By the way, tomorrow is my nephew Brennan's birthday. If you know him, sing him a happy birthday. 303-713-7600. Sorry, Brennan, I couldn't resist. 631. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. Scott Broyland's coming up with the traffic on AM 760. Thanks for joining us on the Mario Solis Marit Show. Scott. It's 303-713-7600. Hi, I'm Erin, filling in for Mario, and very happy to do so. I'm filling in again tomorrow, and I think I had planned earlier to have Sustainable Dave on tomorrow. I met him at a talk he gave up here, and he was also going to a wedding. He's a friend of a friend, so I sort of have to reconnect with him, and I'm not sure whether we have a specific time yet. So I will let you know what time he's going to be on. Oh, heads up. Tom Hartman coming up because I can listen to him earlier than you can. He has Greg Palast on talking about elections and how one of the things that the Bush administration and the evil ones driven by Karl Rove are trying to do is disenfranchise Latino black voters. Sound familiar? Latino black voters and people who have been and poor people who have been foreclosed upon. How nice is that? They're doing it with all sorts of methodologies. So make sure you listen to. Ow! Excuse me. I just squeezed my finger into my headphones. Sorry. Ow! All right. Thomas Carberry, a lawyer, writes and says, "Aaron, I've attached documents about nuclear accidents. They are documents by scientists, not. And I'm not going to use the epithet he called the right-wing caller." Oh, he said moronic, right-wing callers. These are all evidences. Andrews versus the People, a 1990 Colorado Supreme Court case over the protests at Rocky Flats. The industry engaged in massive cover-ups. I remember. Westward's been at the forefront of covering some of that, too. 2 points. First, no private company will build a nuke plant, and no private insurer will insure one. The corporations who want to build these want it done completely on the taxpayer's dime. Doesn't sound like a really good deal, does it? Second, plutonium is forever. If we had buried plutonium waste in the Great Pyramid 6,000 years ago, we would still have to guard it. But over those 6,000 years, untold civilization rose and fell, and hundreds, if not thousands, of looters broke into the pyramids and robbed them. Thanks. Karina, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk from Westminster, and thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hey.
I have something additional that I remember vaguely from an old National Geographic issue. Mm-hmm. They did a an issue, especially on energy, about 10, 15 years ago. What I remember from there is that somebody did a list of how much stuff we have left domestically of each one of the supplies, and supposedly with uranium, at that time, there was only 30 years left.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I really just don't want it in my atmosphere. I don't want it. I would dismantle every nuclear weapon tomorrow if we could get away with it.
Yeah.
You probably can't yet, but I'd do it. Because, well, that's one thing I like about Obama is he actually talks about proliferation and trying to stop it.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is that the domestic supply of raw uranium, which we need for uranium power, is only 30 years left. And so if we suddenly start using it up, then we couldn't be in the same situation.
Well, doesn't mining also run the risk of leaching it into aquifers? I seem to remember something about that, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, if you've ever driven past Leadville, there's the molybdenum mine, and,
yeah.
I mean, the thing is ripped up, and there's these pools of really horrid-looking dirt. It's kind of pretty, but it also looks really gross. You wouldn't want to go near it.
It's true. It's really sad, too, because Leadville could be a historical fun town, you know, and it is in some ways. But still, those molybdenum mines are really scary. And let me tell you something. Anybody who's lived, some friends of mine, acquaintances of mine, made Libby Montana, the documentary about W.R. Grace and how much they contaminated people with asbestos. So
mm-hmm.
if you think that big businesses will think of you when they're, you know, they put the stuff in their playgrounds. You know, and they knew it was making people sick long before they stopped it, and they didn't care. They still did it anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what was that town, Love Town?
Love Canal.
Love Canal that everybody's forgotten about.
Yeah, Agent Orange. Yep,
yeah.
Same stuff.
Well, all that poison that they put into the ground and groundwater for that town killed an entire town.
Yep. So we all better remember that when we think about nuclear power. Thank you very much, Amy, for that National Geographic remembrance. And by the way, Thomas, the lawyer, writes back and says, you can recycle these bulbs anytime at Ace Hardware Store. So if you all want to recycle, and yeah, that's right, they do it up here too. Ace does it up here too. So yes, thank you, Thomas, for that reminder. Let me go to Tom in Boulder. Thanks, Tom. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Mario Show with Aaron. Hi.
Hey, hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tim in Boulder.
Tim, it's okay.
My handwriting sucks. Sorry, dude.
No problem. I enjoy your show.
Thanks.
And I'm a reading liberal. I hate Bush. I hate Cheney. I hate all the people that you hate. I love Obama. I want him to win. But I got to say, I'm pretty turned up by the discussion you're having. And I think what worries me is I think it's the weakest thing that we've got going on the left. And I say that because I think there's a lot of people out there worried about energy prices. And if you've got the right saying, well, all we got to do is drill Anwar, and we got the left saying, well, there's nothing you can do, and I don't want you to use nuclear, and I don't want you to do anything.
No. We're not saying that. You're misunderstanding us. We're saying use solar, use wind, use it now because it's available and it's there. And even right wingers like T. Boone Pickens are coming out for it. You know what?
I understand.
Just keep replaying T. Boone Pickens over and over and over again. Look, I know what you're saying, but you're running in fear from the facts because
there is no
magic bullet in terms of they're making it up. They're telling lies. They're spreading stories. Drilling will not get us cheap gas.
Okay. I'm saying that actually wind will not do it. Solar will not do it. If you do the math, it doesn't do it.
You're incorrect.
And in fact, what really is going to be needed
What do you base that facts on? Where do you base those facts
on? You can actually just do math.
Facts.
You can say how much energy is being used.
Facts. No.
How much energy is
if
wind
you build,
doing?
If you build the transformers, and can connect it up, it's going to take a while. It's not going to be fast, but it'll be faster than the 10 or 15 years it's going to take to drill the oil in Anwar, which will last for 5 minutes. Do your math on that.
What I think is a better message is that we look at everything, including nuclear, including everything, mm-hmm. and that is going to sell much better to the the average person.
No, see, this is what this is why I like Obama. You're underestimating the, you know, I hate it when people look. Yes, fear-mongering and stupidity will out some people, but you know what? I always have more faith in the people. For three solid hours, we have been presenting viable, intelligent, heartening solutions rather than going oil drilling. Yeah, what a great idea. Yeah, let's do that. No, let's not. Let's not. Let's get away from that talk. Let's not do that anymore. Let's not even pretend it's a solution, because you know what? It's sort of like the flat earthers, and it's like the people who don't believe in evolution. I can't listen to people who don't understand science anymore. I can't listen to people who don't understand mathematics anymore. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it, Tim. And if I can have a Brian Schweitzer saying it beautifully, fast, quickly, easily, electron to electron, C to signing C, wind power, all natural, all the time, let's do it. I want to do it. I don't want to be defeatist on this one. That's what I'm talking about. We are creating the message. We are creating the response. We're doing it grassroots. We're here. We're voting. This isn't lasting because we're all, you know, airy-fairy hippies who don't understand. We all have refrigerators. We all have cars. We all have electricity in our homes. We're not, you know, flat. We're not Luddites. We're talking about modern, clean. We're talking about the future. We're talking about a country that can progress, not regress. We're talking about the 21st and the 22nd centuries, not the 18th and 19th. And I know you mean well, and I know you might even be right in terms of certain areas, but I don't think so, and I'll invite right-wingers. Please call up tomorrow. Please tell me where we're wrong here, because we're not. And you didn't present me any facts with why solar and wind can't work with an investment. As much as the tax breaks we've been giving the oil companies, please, dude. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Mario, and I don't even know what time it is. I'm so excited. Hold on. I need to look at a clock, and I don't have a 6:44. I'm Aaron Hart. I had to collapse some screens in order to see my little handy-dandy clock. I could have looked at my wrist, too. Okay, it's 6:44. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on Mario's show, giddy with excitement. And, Tim, I mean no disrespect. I really don't, dude. You might be right, and we'll discuss what you said tomorrow and call in again if you feel like it, but I don't think you're right. I really don't. I think I'm right about this one. I was right that they were swift-boating John Kerry, and he probably would lose unless he responded. So maybe I'm right about this. 6:44, I'm Aaron Hart. Then again, I could be wrong. What do you think? 303-713-7600. I think I talk faster as long as the show goes on. Traffic with Scott Broyland coming up next.